We would like to make a start, please. I'm very pleased to welcome Sabine Hornig here tonight for the last in the series of UE Fine Arts lectures programmed in collaboration with Bristol City Council and the Anno Fini, of course. And we're very pleased to have Sabine here after all. She appears to have met the only cab driver in Bristol who doesn't know where the Anno Fini is. But very good to have you. Sabine is showing at the moment in Munich at the Münchner Pinakothek in the modern Pinakothek. So I'm sure you'd find web references on that, and I believe there's also a few cards lying up.
In case you spent winter in Munich.
I think it's really best if you start straight with the talk. This, of course, coincides with a project of yours being realised in Bristol at the
Girls' School
in Cheltenham Road, I'm told. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come and for your interest in the work. So this is, I'm starting with this work that I did after art school. So this is from 94, long ago, and I basically work in sculpture, but use photography very often as well. And so this is one of the earlier pieces where I worked with the space itself and divided the room with walls. So this is called adjoining room, Nebenzimmer, where is, if you see in the little floor plan, I don't know if you can see it, there is a wall built in front of windows. So the windows were closed off, and so the actual room was smaller, only very little, but it suggests another room behind the wall. So these of the imagination of another room behind the wall is like is permanent in my work. And so I did also an installation in museums like this. It's called Night Window, which is only a small cut in the wall, the museum wall, to a space that is not accessible to the visitor. So it appears to be only dark. And so it's like a dark space in behind, which was unknown before. And so in sculpture, I use proportions very often, and entrance ways, parts of architecture that were like in between the spectator and again like a space that is not visible. So you only have the entrance ways as a copy of the architecture, smaller as a sculpture. This is a piece called Balcony. So I treated it also with stucco to have a surface like a strong facade texture, to emphasize the flatness of the facade as at the same time as a barrier in space. And here, for example, the towel is a cast, so it's not a real towel. So it's also working with reality always and imagination, transformation. This was one of the earlier pieces where I combined stucco, sculpture, like a fragment of architecture again, an entranceway with a photograph that depicts a forest, and in the forest you see a building similar to the yellow building that frames it, and after a while you realize that it's a model of the building that frames the photograph and that is the sculpture. So kind of inversion of a model that inside the actual sculpture. And this all results in my interest to make photography physical and to build it in space. Like here, I've used a big window, a photograph of a window, and built it into a space, like I built this wall, dividing spaces again, and inside is a window that shows a storefront window, and so it overlaps with the space. It shows an empty space and is built inside an empty space, and so these two spaces overlap, the photographed space and the real space. So you see the overlap here on the detail. Is that, how does it work with a microphone? Is it okay? Because there's like two microphones now. I don't know if it,
yeah?
It's better like here, okay, good. This is a detail, yeah. This is again like a separation in a gallery where I built in a wall. You see it here, like this wall is new, and it makes the gallery into three equal spaces, and the work was like first appeared like an image of a window with a curtain, but it is built in the wall again, so you have like here when you go into the rooms, you the image of the curtain overlaps with people walking past and backwards, so you always can go on the other side also and look back. So I was also interested in the aspect of time, that it's possible to go on one side and then the other side after a while, and you look back and realize where you have been before and the vision that you had before. So I had an exhibition in MoMA in New York in 2003 where I built in a series of windows, storefront windows that I had taken in Berlin. And they were all in one line on one street, and the exhibition space had a ramp. So I built the images in a straight line while people had to walk up a ramp. And so the perspective changed a little bit when they had to walk past the images. Here you see also a person standing here on the left. I don't know if you see it. And there's another one standing here. So they had like a different shift in height as well as they could look through the images. These were the images that I photographed. So I've taken a lot of imaginary of empty storefront windows in Berlin where the city is overlapping in the window on the glass. And after a while, I realized that the photograph itself had already several layers on it, so I didn't always install it into a space, so I also printed it as photographs. This is, for example, a very large photograph, like a double photograph, a diptych, and it's like a facade. But you see only what is inside the space and what is behind the space. You don't see the actual building. And this is now actually shown in Munich in the Pinakothek, where there is a big book came out like this, where all the windows are inside. So I've made, in the past 10 years, made about 50 window photographs that are opaque and mounted on plexiglass or glass, and let me see. Yeah, the largest installation I made. So I'm sometimes mounted together these windows, like this window. Here's one with a curtain on it. This is a space where a party had been taken place, and so I mounted these images together to a large imaginary and proposed it for an architectural site. Is it possible to dim the lights a little bit? It confuses me that I look completely into bright light. I don't see anybody. Is it possible? Because you don't need so much light. Because it's really irritating and I have a strong headache the whole day. Thank you. Much better. It's very irritating. That's much better. Thank you very much. So I'm mounted together these images towards a long image and proposed it on a facade. This is a model of a glass facade in Munich of a school, which was then actually built. So I was very surprised that they actually built it because it was very expensive. And this is, so everything you see is printed on glass. It's like silk screen print on glass, which is transparent. And so the curtains also are printed on glass. And so you have, this is it at night. This is from the inside of the building looking out. Yeah, okay, it's good to see. And these are several details of it. So here you see pupils in the back. Do you see them? It's very light. So there's a shift of proportion also, like you have a very much enlargements, whereas in the earlier works of mine, normally I smaller the works, but here it's very much enlarged, of course. So it's about 40 meters long, the whole building, and 8 meters high in one image. So I wasn't invited to do a similar piece. So the question was like to do a school here too in Bristol. I don't know if you've already seen it. It's in Colston Girls School, and there. Two windows are printed also with silk screen on glass, like the left corner window and the right corner window. And in the middle is nothing printed. So here it's on the left. So yeah. And this is from the inside out. And here it's from the right. So you see also an overlap with the image that depicts architecture with the reflection of the actual space. So I did also another school in sculpture also. I used again fragments of architecture. This was from a school in Berlin that had been built several times as a prototype. So I rebuilt this and placed it in museum spaces. Let's go through quickly. This is an outdoor installation. It's made out of concrete, prefabricated concrete pieces, and it's installed in New York. And this is also the basic shape of the school. Of the entrance to a school building, but it has floating stairs. It's called Entrance with Floating Stairs. And this is an installation where I've used these fragments of architecture, so you can approach them after a while and work with scale as well. Like this is a small entrance cube. It's only 1.50 meters high and a roof. And then you had the possibility to enter another space here and would be inside the similar cube that was surrounded with transparencies of a forest. And there's a floor map, so you have the small cube and the large roof and the outside space, and then enter suddenly inside a cube and look to a small roof. So it's like vice versa. It's like being only inside or only outside and seeing it not at the same time, but after a while. So in the recent times, I combined photography and sculpture literally, so I always wanted to have them equal, as an equal part, and I made sculptures that are like, you would say, Zwitter, or something, wie heißt man, like they have like, in between photography and sculpture, there's a person standing behind and becoming part of it, of the image. And I did larger installations or sculptures as well. There's like a folding screen with a landscape in it, which is landfill. Actually, so I was interested very much, like in the storefront windows, they are kind of rejected in streets and cities, and so this is actually waste and how it turns into landscape, or and this is here the photography is turned actually into negative, so it is again physically a process in photography of turning something negative, which means literally it's negative, but it's also abstracted, and so you have things that are bright usually become dark and vice versa. So yeah, and what I'm interested in photography in space also always is that it's flat on one hand and an image, but it becomes through its transparency, it turns into a three-dimensional appearance, like a projection. And this is a curtain, like a physical curtain where I've printed on, and it's semi-transparent, so there is a window in behind which you can see. And this is computer-based, as you see. And yeah, so recently through working with the abandoned and rejected, so I'm showing more of these storefront windows here, which are also like empty spaces in the city. And these are in the exhibition in Munich right now. So this is called Radikal Reduziert, which is actually on the glass and rubbed off. This is like where you have a mark on the glass, so you have all these layers again of the glass, reflection in the back and the space in the front, and sometimes a curtain or something. This is the exhibition in Pinakothek der Moderne right now. And through photographing all these windows in cities, I became interested in the abandonedness, of course, but also in destruction of the storefronts that were in between renovation and new start, you know, like in between a process of transformation. So here, for example, it's called Window with No Back Wall. There is the back wall of the space has been taken out almost brutally, and so light comes in. And here, for example, the floor has been taken out, and you see the bricks and everything. So my idea became like that in cities become these windows almost like landscapes. And this is called destructed room, destroyed room. And even this is like window with no floor, and it's very dark and almost like a Rembrandtian darkness, I thought, like in old master painting. And so I came to interpret my own photographs in the cities towards still lives and all my master paintings. And what I did now in Munich, for example, this is also this is a diptychon. It's taken in Berlin of a renovated space, and you have all the tools and bottles and stuff laying around like a still life. And so what I did in Munich was I confronted these images that are like still lives almost with old master paintings. This is also my work. But here, for example, it's in the alte Pinakothek, the old Pinakothek. You have like a there collection of still lifes on the left side, like, and Vanitas still lifes, for example, and my work here. And so the framing of the photographs, you know, I've forgot to say that the frames that I use are always the frames that are photographed, actually. So they are the actual window frames, you know, around the windows, no? Oh, I don't really feel well, I'm sorry, today. Yeah, it speaks for itself. This is like William Kalf, still on the left side, where you have like this light coming to the front pieces, like in front of the window, and you have the strong darkness in the back. And here is this storefront window of the destroyed room that I showed earlier. It's confronted with landscape photo, landscape paintings, and so the frame again that is like, yeah.
Is that an actual frame on the photograph?
No, this is actually, this is, so I've taken the photograph always with the actual frame of the window and mounted it framelessly on glass. So the window, so the frame that you see is the window frame, the actual window frame, which turns into a paintings frame or a photograph frame. And what I found interesting in installing them in the old Pinacothek was that this theme of painting and framing painting back ago was started out with imitating a window frame, you know, like the actual painting frames were window frames once, and so it comes back and forth that your vision switches back and forth between window and painting and all these things. I'm sorry, I hope you understand. This is something that inspired me very much in Munich, which is not, I didn't hang a photograph there, but it's very much dealing with this imaginary too of the second space. So, so in the painting, in the painting of Memling, you see like a depicted space inside the space. This is very, very similar, I thought, to this work, which is called Rear Window, and I've taken it as it is. So there is a person walking in a path that is actually there. So it's actually in the back of this house. And so there's nothing manipulated, I want to say. Also, all these photographs are always taken in one shot. So sometimes, actually, like in this earlier work with the skull laying there on the window sill, I emphasize this as putting it actually there. But it's usually just photographed as it is. This is a new sculpture that I have, which I have installed in the Pinacothek der Moderne II, which is now to see in Munich, and it's called Mirrored Room. This is a photograph taken into a space that that had mirrors completely around it. So this is emphasized even more that you think the whole space is mirrored, but actually the photograph is taken off a mirrored space. It's very difficult to explain. So you see all the columns that are in the picture, you think they're reflected, because there are columns too in that space, but they are photographed of a different space. So you have, you see it from both sides also here, and it's very confusing, but also the overlap with the real space and the depicted space works really well. And this strange kind of location shift that it has nothing to do with this space, but it's very close there, you know. And this is a very new piece that I'm showing now at a gallery in Munich at the same time. This is a new technique that I'm using there. It's transparent fabric, and the photograph is printed on fabric, and it's only spanned over a frame, which is also built in between door and window, you see, and so it's foldable also in this piece that is like a concrete piece, it's only wood and stuccoed again, and it's like a window, like a seal, you say, no? And yeah, so this is freestanding in space, and you can look through, it's called Still im Fenster, still off by the window, and it has like different colorful masks in them, so it's imaginary that I've taken in Los Angeles, which is a little bit different too than here. And yeah, this is from the backside. So here I'm currently very interested in this positioning sculpture and photographs again in space, and so that you walk around, whereas the photographs here, the Storfen photographs are very frontal. No? Yeah. Sorry? Of me, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes there is no reflection. About 50% there is none. I do like either go to the side and shift the camera, or sometimes it's just the tripod that is there. Mostly I use a cable release, which is 6 meter long. Sometimes you see a little bit the tripod, but if it's very disturbing, I take it out digitally. Because it gives sometimes too much proportion, you know, like too much the actual scale, whereas I smaller the photographs, so they are smaller on the window or in the space, but still they appear life size, and if you see a tripod or myself looking into it, then it's disturbing. But in some photographs, I leave myself inside also like a statement and looking backwards. But I don't have anything here, no, I think. So it's. But in the book, you can see some that actually play with this thing of seeing the camera or not seeing it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know, I kind of lost my English Faden. I hope you can understand. Yeah. I hope it was possible to understand. So.
That's very good.
Hmm. Thank you.
Well, would you like to take a few questions or?
Yes, yeah? Sure. Hmm. Sorry, I didn't understand.
There's one just coming, a microphone.
Yeah.
Sorry. What did you like about the spaces that the public couldn't access? What was the thinking in this? Because you know, in the first few slides that you showed us, the first few works, you had spaces that were just. So you kind of gave people a glimpse of them, but you didn't. I just like to know what.
Which one you mean?
The where you'd cut out, yeah, this one, yeah.
Yeah.
So could you just talk a little bit more about it?
About these?
About the space that you couldn't access.
This was about, that you have a very small interference in the space, very kind of minimal, and the effect is to twist the space where you are into not the actual only space in front of a wall, but adjoining space, like a pre-chamber, and you have another second space in the back, which is not accessible. So like a double situation of a bright and dark space and a visible and a non-visible space. So it kind of, you could say philosophically, it kind of questions the space where you are in and the perspective where you are in. No? Like in both of these spaces, yeah. And with the transparencies, I did it similarly when I built them in, and then I wanted to have like the an overlap of the abstracted photographed vision of a space to the real one. You know, and this is like you have one space that's in the imagination and one which is actual, you know. Mm-hmm. And here, for example, was what I liked here in the museum. So it works only if they have a space in the back that is not accessible for the visitor and also not known. Like here it was in CCB in Lisbon. There was something like a hidden workspace, you know, in the back. So through opening it, it became something, it extended the exhibition space. For the people, these walls are solid, but actually in museums they are kind of flexible, and you have spaces in the back that don't exist. No. Yeah.
Hello. I was just wondering, your use of turning photography into also a sculpture. I was very intrigued by the window ones on the front of the building. I can't remember what building it was. This interaction of sort of its surroundings. How do you feel that differs when you put it into a white cube sort of scenario? Is it more about the people who are in the gallery that interacts with the transparent photography, or I'm trying to think of how to put this into a question.
Well, first I had the transparencies in white spaces, and then I did them outside in architecture. So, I usually work in gallery spaces and not, I mean, with architecture, this was 3 times actually now that I worked with transparent photographs and architecture, literally. But it's not so much a difference. The difference is in the use, of course. In architecture comes a different purpose of daily use in it, you know, that it has to function somehow. But whereas in galleries you have like, it's only about perception for a temporary time, you know. It's not about that bicycles are standing close and people have to sit there and all these things, you know, like the function of the architecture. Did you mean something about the appliance of the photography, or does it answer the question?
I guess I'm sort of trying to think how people's reaction to your work compares from a public space, like the one where you said people sit and can sort of look at it, and in general, compared to people visiting a white cube space.
You mean as an art space and a space in cities?
Yeah. I mean, I was just wondering what sort of different reactions you might have got.
I unfortunately don't see reactions always because I'm not there. This is very unfortunate, but...
I think the Bristol project here at Colston Girls' School.
Yeah. Yeah, it is not really transparent, it's semi-transparent also, so it becomes just seen it in the darkness, it's very foggy. So this was with the function of the building, they didn't really want it to have it really transparent. But it's at daytime, I see it tomorrow, first time on the pictures that I've shown here, and I've seen it works like should work like a different space also.
And
levels.
Yeah. Change as well, with daylight or
should be, yeah. So it changes always. It should change with darkness and bright at the daytime. And it should be like also visible into the space and outside too. If you're inside, you should still look outside. But you have this, again, this overlap. Of course, through the technology of the silk screen, it's a little bit more opaque than the transparency. It's more like burned into the glass. No? So it's it has more of physicality, a stronger physicality than the image on in galleries, you know.
Which side of the glass is it actually printed on?
It's in the inside of the glass, but usually you have four sides of the glass because it's like double insulation glass and it's in the inside, so it's number two, so it's in the...
So it's reflective on both sides? Really.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so here you have one that you can see in Bristol, although it's like a little bit different, but it's okay. You can
maybe
imagine
you
how it is.
Uh-huh. Maybe you should make a trip. How far is it?
It's not.
Just go up Stokes Hall and keep walking.
Yeah.
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 So, to your question again about public space and gallery space, of course, there's a difference. It's probably if you walk on the street and see this this art piece, you don't expect an art piece. That's probably the major difference. And then you see what it is. What is it? You know, like in this school in Munich, people sometimes first thought that it was the curtains were actual curtains until they saw that every day they're the same position. So then they realized they're actually printed and you can look through at the same time. And so, so it changes while you pass through. And here in Bristol, I think after a while, people will probably tell us how they perceive it or so, no? Within life. So it's different if it's like, of course, within life, built into life, or if it's in an art gallery.
I just wondered if you could say a bit more about working with Colston Girls' School in terms of, you know, the content of the photograph and, you know, why you chose the subject matter and what the relationship
about the clearly.
The image that was used on Colston's Girls' School, what was the process of involvement of the school, or was it all your work, you know, in
did you use
They wanted to have something with windows, so I didn't have so much freedom in choosing what I wanted to do. So it's not about, it doesn't thematically work with a school, like, first of all, but it works with the architecture, you know. So it was something that should have worked with it, that there was something like the Aufgabe, the task, brief to do something similar to the Munich school.
Hmm? Isn't there a staircase on the right hand side?
There is a staircase, yes. And
is that a staircase in the building or in the photograph?
There is a staircase on the photograph, and there is also a staircase in the building. So this is what I was trying to do. Also, there is a canteen inside, and I've used photographs that have tables, white table clothing, and red stairs on there, and books. So I put a little bit of theme around the school that would the use of the school, you know, how you would appear and approach a school with books and chairs and tables and so, like to eat, to dine and to read. But for the whole idea, I couldn't. People selected also what they wanted and liked, so it wasn't all up to me. In this case, so usually I propose things and have more freedom, but here they stuck very much to my previous work, and so that's how I had it. Was more like an applied work. So this is also different, very much different to the art gallery, where I usually have a total freedom what to do, but here it was very much applied in terms that they really wanted something similar to the Munich school and nothing else. and so this is why it came out this way. I like it also. So it's a possibility. You know, it's more like a transformation of work that I've done before, but I think it's interesting too. Yeah.
Hi. I love the way you use on the photos, the actual frame of the window is the frame of the photo. And I just wondered, it's just a technical thing really, is it really difficult to get them that square? How do you square it up? Because when I try and do that with photography, there's always a slight angle on the edge, you know. I can never get things quite as square as I like.
Really? But here's a architecture camera, then it's possible to have it square.
Oh, right.
You know, you have lines on the screen, and you
adjust it
as long
camera.
It is. So I'm using, for most of them, I'm using a 4x5 inch,
oh, right.
And you can really adjust it so that it's absolutely square. Mm. You know, and when it's off, you can always take it. If there's a digital process involved, you can always correct it in Photoshop. But in the first images I've taken only by 4x5 in the camera and on the negative and blown it up from the negative directly, so there's nothing corrected later on. And then if there's a very tiny shift, of course, there is a little bit of a distortion, but you don't really see it very much, you know. But it's important that you work hard when you take the photograph. Yeah.
Your earlier pieces are very exact, and it's sort of accurate. The materials are aluminium or steel.
Yeah.
But the more recent pieces, the stretched screen.
Canvas also, yeah.
You seem to move into something less regular.
Yes, a little bit more like lighter materials and so, yeah. And,
is
and
a deliberate move for you?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. That's true. Something new, yeah, and it's also what I like to experiment more and have less like big building things, more like light things at the moment. And also I'm printing on paper now, so I'm also showing photographs printed on paper, and so it's like a very experimental time at the moment. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Any question?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, with like the more sculptural work, like Marcus kind of hit on it a bit, but like what kind of influences your decision to make some things in like wood coated in stucco, and then with the other ones to stick to like prefab concrete and the materials that it would have, the actual thing would have been made in.
The actual thing, the last I didn't understand. You know,
but
it's
the,
not my
the
first
thing you're mimicking
huh?
would have been made in, and then with the other ones where you're using wood coated with stucco, what makes you make the decision to
mm-hmm.
make some of them with wood coated in stucco?
Good question. Well, the stucco I've used mainly to have a contradiction or like an opposite to the lightness of the transparency, first of all, like to have like a very solid appearance of the facade, like a structured facade, and then it's also something that appears in Germany and America and Italy, all over the place. I don't know if it is if stucco is also used in England. Is it the like in America, for example, on the West Coast, it's used in the outside as well as in the inside. So I found it very curious that they have it on ceilings and corridors and everywhere. And it's kind of covering up surface, you know, whereas so it kind of mimics stone and solidity, you know. So this was like my interest, and using prefabricated concrete was the outdoors piece. So this was like a practical thing, you know, to have it to use outside, like real concrete. But in galleries, I like to imitate the material, not to have it like only to have it appear similar, like in photographs, to be like a depiction of something, not the reality. Yeah. Yeah, if you like, okay. Thanks for coming. Oh, I don't know, I have this morning when I came here.